Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Ghar se dola chala ladli ka, kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka. Ghar se dola chala ladli ka, kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka. Kitne nazon se pala tha humne, har tarah se sambhala tha humne. Haaye humse juda ho rahi hai, haaye humse juda ho rahi hai. Ghar ki yaadon mein wo kho rahi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's a beautiful mashallah Wednesday morning. You are tuning in, listening to the Bliss of Marriage. My name Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. And of course, our beloved, senior, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafizahullah. Well, it's the 14th of Safar, 1443, which is also the 22nd of September, 2021. We welcome live our beloved listeners of Sirius FM, sharing the beauty of Islam. You are listening live on the Bliss of Marriage. And we welcome our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Let's welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface. This Wednesday morning, remember our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Ustad, it's a beautiful Wednesday morning. We welcome you into the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
There's a question, Ustad, saying that spouses may inherit from one another as soon as the marriage contract is done, and there is no stipulation that the marriage be consummated. Could Ustad please elaborate on this, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's take 2-3 practical examples, so that will elaborate and explain and remove all the doubts that sometimes people have. One scenario, I performed the nikah, and thereafter nikah means the marriage ceremony, and thereafter the couple, now the same time, that is, they go away, husband, wife, and the marriage is consummated and so forth and so on. Then in a case like that, after 1 year, 5 years, 10, 20 years, the husband passes away, definitely the wife will inherit as long as she's a Muslimah, and the wife passes away, the husband will inherit as long as both parties are Muslim. So that will be first scenario. Second scenario will be that the husband and wife, you must remember, the nikah is performed, and now when they went home, so he went to touch his wife, and he was so shocked and excited with the beauty of his wife. He just kissed her, touched her, and he passed away, bichara, you know. So it could happen like that also. So there's no question of consummating and so forth. So in a case like that, although he did not consummate the marriage and so forth, so the wife will have to sit in idda for 130 days from time of death, and remember, she will inherit as well. So that is the second scenario. Third scenario, because this word was used in the question, so therefore I have to explain explain that also. In Islam, you must remember, I'm the presiding officer, performing your daughter's nikah, your son's nikah, for example. So in a case like that, what will happen is that we will tell the parties that in this masjid here, the nikah will be performed today after Asr, today after Maghrib, after Isha, whatever time. So what will happen is that the boy will be there who is the groom. Now he is the husband to be. The lady will not be there. Her wakil, her representative will be there. And normally we always suggest that the representative, the wakil, should be the father. So obviously the father must be alive and must be Muslim, and that will be the best. Otherwise the brother and so forth. So the wali will be the father always, provided that is Muslim and he gave consent for his daughter to get married. So we will ask them that question, you took permission and all that, and the lady is happy. Then we will see that there are two male witnesses, Muslim witnesses, and then we read the khutbah, the sermon and so forth, and thereafter we pose the questions. And the question posed, Mr. Wakil Saab, Mr. Representative, have you taken permission from your beloved daughter Zainab that she will be married to Zaid, and so forth and so on. We mention all the surnames and so forth, and the mahar and the marital gift is 1,000 rand, 20,000 rand and so forth, in the presence of the witnesses. And then he will say yes. Then we will ask the boy, the groom, the husband to be, do you accept Zaid, the Zainab, in your nikah, and the mahar is so much? Then we ask him also, where's the mahar? We want to see it, you know. So maybe it is a Kruger coin or something, because sometimes they say yes, but it's best that they show it to us also. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I make a joke also, if it's my family member, I say, I hope it's not fake, like it may be genuine, you know. That is just to make it like a happy occasion. Uh-huh. Like, yeah. So it's not necessary all that. That is just to make them smile a little bit. So anyway, and thereafter he will say the words. We tell him, nakah tuha wa kabil tuha. Now people who don't know Arabic, sometimes they say nikah tuha. This is not nikah tuha, it's nakah tuha wa kabil tuha. I am married to her and I accept it. Finished. The marriage is finished. Then we read the dua, barakallahu lak wa barakallahu alayk wa jama'a baynakuma bil khair, and finish, everything is done. Now in the question, one word and one clause was mentioned, the marriage contract. You must remember that this marriage is finished, is concluded. There's no certificate required, there's no contract required, that lady is in your nikah, the husband is married to you, and so forth. That is all logistical issues. Now you are going to travel here and there, so now you must remember, they'll ask you that who is this lady. So in a case like that, she has a different surname, her maiden surname, or she has your surname. So that is all for those purposes. Yeah, and you know, in the case the person passes away, what relationship was there, then you will say you the husband, she's the wife. So the marriage is valid already, just immediately after the nikah, even though there's no contract, there's no registration, there's nothing of that sort. And remember, anyone of them passes away, then the living one, the surviving spouse, will inherit, whether the marriage, whether they went into khalwa in privacy or not, whether they consummated the marriage or not. And remember, even if they did not go into khalwa, but the nikah took place, so you must remember that in this case here, and he passed away after his nikah, he was so excited, bichara, he just collapsed and passed away. So then she will have to go into iddat 130 days. So that is what Islam teaches in these various scenarios.
Ustad, is a listener from KZN saying that, I fear my husband very much, dear Mufti Saab. Do we have to obey him in everything he tells us to do? He is a very aggressive man, Ustad. Anonymous.
You must remember, my sister, when your husband is in a good mood, and you know his moods now, and not in front of the children, And you must remember that you speak to him and tell him that you know, you heard from me, you read books and what have you and so forth. What is marriage? Marriage is a partnership. And Quran Kareem speaks of this in Surah 2, Surah Baqarah chapter 2, verse 187. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. That they, your wives, they are your garment and clothing. And the husbands, you must remember, they are your garments and your clothing. So how the garment and clothing, you must remember, is attached to you. And same thing, husband, wife must be attached to one another. That marriage is a partnership. Now what your husband understood, marriage is a dictatorship. He is the master and will treat you like a slave and a nokrani and a knocker and so forth. So that's totally wrong. So you need to explain to him. Yes, he is the Amir. He is the leader. Surah 2 verse 228. But it nawali rijali alayhinna daraja. But Amir means you must do the majority of the things. That you must organize the kapra roti, kapra makan. You must organize the food, organize the shelter, organize the medication, education, whatever it is. All the expenses will be upon him. So that is what Islam teaches. So he misunderstood. He thought that he is the Amir. Amir means dictator. So in Islam, the husband is not that. You can't then live a good life. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. I give you one example. I'll make it two. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sheikh Sabuni, our honorable ustad who passed away a few months ago, Allah is buried in Istanbul, Turkey. He wrote a good, nice book. Obviously in Arabic, Az-Ziwaj. So he gave it to me when we were there in Makkah as a gift. So nevertheless, you must remember, in day he mentioned this incident. One day, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came there to the house of Hazrat Aisha or Hazrat Hafsa or so, you know. And you must remember that they were very good friends. And their fathers were good friends, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and the daughters also. And their houses also were attached to one another, very close to one another. So they were not wearing so nice clothes, you know. Mm-hmm. It was like shabby clothes they had. And Hazrat Sauda radiallahu anha, she was old, but her clothes were very nice, very impressive. So what they did is, Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anhu, so when they saw Hazrat Sauda, and just now Nabi alayhi salatu salam will come, and they looking but shabby, and she's looking so beautiful and impressive, so they made like a trick, like you see, you know, like a, so they told her, Sauda, you don't know what happened. Say what? He said, Kharaja Dajjal. Dajjal came out. He's going to come out just now. So she said, what must I do? So he had one like storeroom, like, you know, one room there at the back. And it's not so clean and that. So go there and hide there. Then Dajjal won't see you, like you see. So this time. So she was like, you know, this thing old also. And she accepted what they are saying. So she went there. And she's hiding there. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anhu are laughing and crying, you know, smiling. So Nabi alayhi salam, obviously his wife, you know, so he knew that they did something. They say, ask, what you're laughing so much? So they didn't speak, they gestured, they pointed, go see there, go see there. So then Nabi alayhi salam, when they, he found Hazrat Sauda really terrified and fighting, you know, what you doing here? She said, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you never heard? Say what? She said, Dajjal is coming out just now. And this. So Nabi alayhi salam knew that Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Hafsa did this. So what you learn from here, that husband-wife relation, he did, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not rebuke and reprimand Hazrat Aisha or Hazrat Hafsa. So in with your wives, and remember, you must have that. It must be an atmosphere of friendliness, of little bit joke also, so and so forth. It can't be just you are serious and so forth. Therefore, the honorable wives of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, when he was outside, even the shaitan was terrified, and he would take a U-turn and run away. Idha dakhala, when he used to enter the house, kana kasabi. He was like a young boy, meaning he was joking, he was smiling, he was happy. So that is what marital life is all about. So you need, my sister, sister, your timing has to be right. When your husband is in a good mood, he's giving you his undivided attention. The children must not be there, and then you speak to him, Habi, you got the wrong end of the miswak. You got the wrong end of the stick. Matrimonial life is a happy life, but both parties have to understand we are partners, we are part of one team. We are not be opponents to one another. We need to complement and supplement one another. So that is what Islam teaches us.
I see there's a brother from Lodium says, I do that every morning, Mufti Saab. Myself and my wife, we actually have a race every morning. But now when I beat my wife, she gets very upset with me, Ustad. What do I do?
Yeah, but you must remember that your intention is very good. But where are you racing? That's the question. You are there in Pretoria, in Lodium, Erasmia, Claudius. You and your wife racing there. You must remember down Jewel Street. So you must remember this type of thing. And everybody can see you. And that's not permissible. So you and your wife there in your big garden, mashallah, you race and so forth. So you must use your akhlaq, my brother. Jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai. When you have a magnanimous heart, then Allah will elevate you. You and your wife, you must not say, come we race and always you must beat her. Obviously you will beat her, but many times you must give her the opportunity that she must beat you. So that is what the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salam. See, I give you. We can pinpoint the spot in Medina Munawwara. You know that. So when you study fiqh sirah, one is sirah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the biography of the master sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One is fiqh sirah, to understand. People speak of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the month of Rabiul Awwal, like next month. So you must remember, I will be in Durban also, inshallah, inshallah al-Aziz. But sirah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not only for Rabiul Awwal. We need to understand the master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam sirah and fiqh sirah, understanding it. So when you go into the depths, so where did this incident happen? One day Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to make Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha happy, and it's open and no people there and little bit out. So you must remember that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha, they ran like Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha beat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam akhlaq, he let her, you understand, be so be happy. The next time Nabi alayhi salatu salam said that now again we do. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beat her. Zaka fa zak. So this is for that time there. Now the score is equal. It's a draw. So you mustn't be 10 times, 9 times you winning. So you must give her the chance. She must beat you also. So instead of taking long, long steps, take small, small steps and so forth. So she will beat you. You must remember. So that is the women. The older they get, the more compliments they want. The more, because they made such a great sacrifice. They left their place of birth, they left their parents, they left their siblings, they left the environment they were accustomed to. Everything. Your wife is from Durban, brother. Your wife is from Port Elizabeth. Your wife is from Pietermaritzburg. Wherever, I'm just giving an example, I don't know you, but she left all that to spend the remainder of her life with you. And now every time you run in your garden and your yard, you beat her. So that also is not a, so you must let her feel special as well. So that is what Islam teaches us.
Subhanallah, he says, we'll do that, Ustad. He says his wife is from Kimberley, Ustad.
Ah, even further, the holy city. So this holy is not H-O-L-Y, like Makkah, Medina, Masjid Al-Aqsa, Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Holy city, H-O-L-E. There's a big hole there. And then you find all the diamonds there. You must go visit it there. I'm sure you visited it. So Kimberley, I have many students there, mashallah. So this good, nice place also.
Let's go to Secunda, Ustad. There's a sister who's 47 years old. She says, I heard Mufti Saab, you do that partnering. She's looking for a partner, Ustad. She was married the first time, divorced. Married the second time, divorced. But she says she's prepared to be somebody's second wife, especially she wants an alim this time, Ustad. If you can do some matchmaking. Sister from Secunda, Ustad.
I don't know who told you that we do matchmaking and all these things here. People send me messages that, you know, that my son is ready to get married. married. My daughter is ready to get married. So we just announce it like now you announce the whole thing yourself, that you are 47 years old and you were divorced and so forth. We don't know whether you have children or not and you want to settle down and so forth. So that's fine. So we don't do matchmaking, sister, because you must remember if things work out, then it's very good. Then things don't work out, then you will come on the radio and say that, send messages, yeah, that, yeah, you all did this, you all did this. So we don't know. You know, people, when they have a motive and they have certain, you know, agenda, then they all make like a buzruk, you know. My one cousin, I give you one story, you like stories. So my one cousin told me the story. He said that, you know, they all passed away, bichara. So you must remember that this guy came to see their sister or daughter, whatever you. So it was Sunday, like. So Sunday, you know, yeah, in Transvaal, Gauteng area, that time was Transvaal. So 12:30 is Azan, and 12:45 is Namaz. From 12:15 in Matendi Church Theatre, this guy is like uncomfortable. So they ask him, what's wrong? You say, no, I must go for Namaz, you know, and this and all that. See, but the Azan is up past 12. So, but he's making, he's such a waliullah. So all that and that. So now they also thought maybe he's a very pious person. So before Azan, they already went to the masjid and all these things here. Afterwards, when they make investigation, they say this mortar doesn't read any Namaz besides Jummah Namaz. You understand? So you see, that is how people, they hoodwink people, deceive people, and so forth and so on. So the point I want to make, sister, is this. That's why we don't get involved in this. So you, what you must do, instead of looking for alim and second wife and all that, you must read Torah. See, a very good question. See, I give you now. All of you must listen attentively. The listeners of Sirius FM and the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah, listen attentively. Every person has got different needs, right? So now, today it's Wednesday. When we study, I sent it out to all the groups today, this morning. So if you are on the groups, you will have received it. So Imam Bukhari, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, you must remember, he wrote many, many works. Not only Bukhari Sharif. So one hadith kitab, he wrote Al-Adabul Mufrad. I got 2-3 different copies. One copy Sheikh Albani gave me, rahimahullah. And one copy I got from Dubai. Excellent copy also. And then I got another copy also. So the point I'm making is I keep these copies because every copy got different notes and so forth. So the point I'm making is Imam Bukhari rahimahullah mentions it is the battle of Khandaq. It is the battle of the trench. And there Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a Wednesday after Zuhur Salat made special dua. And then the weather changed, the winds came and Lord Quran speaks of all that. And then Abu Sufyan and all of them who were non-Muslim at that time, they took flight and they ran away. So you must remember that. So that is one lesson. So the second lesson we learn, Wednesday afternoon after Zuhur, duas are accepted. And further to reiterate and emphasize this point, Jabir radiallahu anhu states, whenever I encountered difficulty, I used to wait for Wednesday afternoon. And then I used to make dua. You see, and always my dua was accepted. Third one, I give you the reference also. And remember this incident, if you want to go further and all that, is Hassan, Hadithun Hassan. Is a good hadith. It's not a weak hadith or for be fabricated and so forth. So that is academically. Next one, that when you study Sahih Muslim, then you come to know Habibuna Rahmatullil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You must remember, he explained to people that to the Ummah, that you see, Almighty Allah created the universe in 6 days. Fi sittati ayyami wa ma massana min luhub. No fatigue, no tiredness, nothing affected us in that. Allah Ta'ala, he get never tired, never sleeps, all that. La ta'khudhu sinatu wa la nawm min aytul kursi. So on Wednesday, that Allah Jalla wa la created nur, radiance and effulgence. So now why I'm telling you this, then I give you another another reference, our mother Siddiqa Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha states in Maqasid Hasana, that book by Allama Sakhawi rahimahullah, when you want to start doing an action and so forth and so on, then start on a Wednesday. And if you go to the Hanafi school, we went to Uzbekistan, all these places, Russia and Uzbekistan and all. So you must remember that what you see there, Allama Marghinani, the place name is Marghinan, the author of Hidayah. So whenever the academic year would start, he would start teaching on a Wednesday. Our Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, who we met, we studied in his madrasa, he passed away in Shawwal 1976. So the madrasa always used to open on a Wednesday. Hazratji Hazrat Muhammad Siullah Khan Sahib, Nawarallah Marqadahu of Jalalabad, always Wednesday. So why did he all this? Because of this. So now we come to you, sister. You 47 years old, you were divorced. Now I want a Maulvi Sahib, I want a Mufti Sahib, I want a Hafiz Sahib, I'll become second wife. Why you do all this? Today you read your Zuhur Salat. After the Zuhur, you read your 2 Rakat Sunnat Muakkada, read your 2 Nafil, then raise your hands. Ya Allah, give me someone who is best for me in this world and in the year after.
Amen.
You know what is marital life. You heard it was a sour marriage, ended in divorce. So ask Allah and say, Ya Allah, the one who is khair for me, who is the best for me, grant me that person, Ya Allah. And then you read Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Ya Allah, grant us our spouses and such children that are the coolness of the eyes. So Allah se mangna hai aur Allah se manwana hai. So we must beg and petition Allah and beg Almighty Allah Jalla wala that He makes decisions in our favor. So that is our advice, sister.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sister says both her marriages, Ustad, she was married to both businessmen. So that's why she's asking if there's any mufti or any mulana, Ustad, in Markaz Sahaba, the sister from Sukunda, Ustad.
So, yeah, Markaz Sahaba, but twice you were divorced, then I don't think they will be very much interested, sister. But anyway, leave all the Markaz Sahaba and everybody else, Sirius FM, out. You get and on your musalla and cry and make dua. And forget this one, this one. Say, Ya Allah, grant me that husband who is khair and best for me. That is what you must do.
I see overseas says that, move this up now, why are nowadays daughter-in-laws very lazy? They sit in the room the whole day without doing a thing and expect to be treated like Rani's. They can't even pick up a plate, move this up for themselves, or can't even put on a pot of food or stove. And if you, the mother-in-law, ask for help, you get told Islamically, it's not her duty. Ustad, I taught my daughter how to cook from the age of 11. What's wrong with parents nowadays? Anonymous from overseas, Ustad.
100% I agree with you to a certain extent. But always you will notice I try and be the independent observer. And I have to give advice to both parties. So what you did, Kala Masi, very good. You taught your daughter how to cook, how to bake, everything. I hope you taught her how to sew and everything. So that is all the domestic sciences, you see, that a mother must teach, you must remember. Our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha used to address the females and say, Allimu nisa'akum surat an-nur. Teach your female Surah Nur, Surah 24, so that they must come to know what things they must learn and so forth and so on. So because tomorrow they'll become a wife, then they'll become a mother, then a mother-in-law, and lot of stories there, lot of things can happen in life. So all that. Now, Kala, let me turn the argument the other way around. When you and your son and went to propose to that, who's your daughter-in-law now, so didn't you make any investigation that this daughter of yours, who's your daughter-in-law today, can she cook or anything? Or will she mix square samosas and triangle rotis and all these type of things? So you see, Kala, you're supposed to ask all these questions. So what we do, your son just saw the mal on the jamal, he saw the wealth and the beauty and said, Aitabohari lage, that this one looks like a nice one. So now, so finish now. So now she understood that she don't have to do anything. So where is your son's brains? So he must impose upon her that you're living in this house and don't you have any shame that my mother must do all the work and you sitting here watching movies, playing with your cell phone and playing with TikTok and TokTik and all these type of things. So you must take Kala was when you went to propose, then you'll never probe and question this. Okay, does she know how to cook? Does she know how to run a house and all that? The truth of the matter is today, most Muslim girls from married from rich families, so remember that they can't do anything. That what they know, dial a roti, dial a roo, dial a akadi, dial a bed, dial this, dial a mufti, you understand? That they champions in. So this type of thing, yes, pay. Because why? Their parents also, they never learned to cook. They had a cook from Malawi. They had a cook from Amman's Kral. And he used to do everything. So they say, why must we make all matakut and all dirty our hands and clothing and all this kind of thing? Matakut means break our head and all these type of things. So it's totally wrong that you must empower your daughter and your children, especially with skills that will help them in life, in future life. So, and you, your son is also, tell him, I said, he is not playing his role. He must tell his wife, your daughter-in-law, she must be in the kitchen and she must be helping. And then she told you it's not compulsory for her to help you. It's compulsory for her to listen to her husband. So that is, you must remember what you need to tell her. So remember, they want everything pakki pakai roti. Sit on their laurels and think of Hadi the whole time. So you must remember, Islam don't teach that.
Sister says, Ustad from overseas, Jazakumullahu khairan. And she says she's very, very intelligent, Ustad. She quotes hadith in that, Ustad.
They will quote all the hadiths that suits them. Selective quoting. You must remember that. So that they champion name dropping and all that. You see? So they will say, I studied. So you study, you never studied. Is it Fatima radiallahu anha's life? Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, when she married, yesterday also I read the article in a newspaper here in Indonesia. They say Hazrat Fatima got married to Sayyidina Ali in the month of Safar. Totally wrong. They said that the Battle of Khaybar took place during Safar. Totally wrong. So therefore, you must be very careful what people print in newspaper. Battle of Khaybar took place during the month of Muharram. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anha got married during the month of Ramadan. So remember, you mustn't just swallow everything. You must be able to sift out what is authentic and what is rutab and yabis. What is fairy tale and what is incorrect and fabrications. So people just write anything, you understand? You ask them where the reference, they'll show you some Urdu kitab. Or tell you this mola. That's not dalil. You must bring the dalil. Show us the evidence. So there, we will show you in the kitabs of hadith and so forth and the commentaries and so. So the point anyway that came in, by the way. So what must happen is, you, she wants to quote hadith. So you as Kala, mother-in-law, you must tell her, you know what? That Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, the ladli, the most beloved child and daughter of Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came with Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anha to the master rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was feeling shy. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anha spoke, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he got married, Nabi alayhi salam said, O Fatima radiallahu anha, my beloved ladli, everything in the house is your duty. You're the minister of home affairs. Everything outside, you in charge. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anha, minister of foreign affairs, just to give you the idea. So she used to work so hard, her hands, everything, so there were marks and so forth, scars and what. So now the Mali Ghanimat came, you must remember the booty, spoils of war came, and then Sayyidina Ali said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why don't you give us like a khadima, you know, some helper, assistant for your beloved daughter, Sayyida Fatima, my wife. What Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam did? He set the precedent for humanity and posterity.
Subhanallah.
No khadima for you, my daughter. You must read Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times. Therefore, we call it Tasbih Fatima. That is is what Islam teaches. You lead by example. So today, if the minister, prime minister, he will have 10, 20 khadims. For his daughter, he'll have another 3, 4. So you must remember that is the kuffar way of thinking. So Islamic way of thinking is this, that to be the role model, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the ummah, you read 5 salat. But he, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, read 6 salat, tahajjud salat every day. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that you must fast Ramadan. But now these days we are going through 13, 14, 15, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast normally. And Monday, Thursday, to go the extra mile, so that will inspire nations for generations. So that is what Islam is teaching us.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. I see passes from what bank to the sister, 47 years old. Tell Mufti Sahab, the Merkaz Sahaba wives, they will beat you up, Ustad. Far from what bank, Ustad?
Right, nice one.
This one says, Ustad, one more question before we go for an interval. I gave my husband a gift, Mufti Sahab. He gave it to his sister without telling me. I accused her of theft. Now there are ructions going on. Soon will be a family war. My sister-in-law refuses to forgive me. Who is at fault? Me, or my husband, or my sister-in-law? Anonymous Ustad.
Let's look at the chronological table, the sequence of events. Mm-hmm. You gave your husband a gift. So, for example, you gave him money, or you gave him a silver ring, or you gave him something expensive. So, you must remember that, as a wife did, very good. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and we encourage this, tahadaw tahabbu, give gifts to one another. This will generate mutual love. Because husband, wife, you living together, sometimes there will be misunderstanding, differences. And when you give a gift, فَإِنَّ الْهَدِيَّةَ تُذْهِبُ الدَّغَائِنَ, then the gift will remove the malice, the rancor, the hatred. The authentic hadith in Bayhaqi. So point number one, very good. Point number two, in Islam, when you give a gift, the person, the giftee, the recipient takes possession, and you can't make any condition. And if you made condition, the conditions are waived off, they fall away. Right? That is point number two. Third one, now after the that he's got that what you gave, you didn't know, or is something that he said, you know what I'm going to do, so he gave it to his sister. So you must remember, was he right or wrong? So akhlaqan, ethically, he should have told you about it. But because he did not tell you in this circumstance, there's no sin upon him. So you should not make I'm the owner of it after my wife gave it to me. I can do whatever I want to with it. So you, the wife, cannot blow your gasket and make a big noise. Yeah, you know, I gave it to you and you gave it to your sister, and that's wrong on your part. From his part, ethically, that he should have told you. But he didn't tell you and gave it to his sister. So remember that there's no sin upon him. That you must remember. Now when you saw it there by the sister, you must remember you blew your gasket and said, yeah, you stole it and this. So that you are 100% wrong in there. So there's no need for rouse and ructions and all. You go to your husband and tell him, I ask for forgiveness. You go to your sister-in-law, your husband's sister, and say, me, I'm wrong, and so forth. And when you're alone with your husband, tell him in future, when he gives you a gift, or you give a gift, and then you want to give it away, then at least inform one another. And that is the ethics of Islam, the akhlaq, and the beautiful morals and manners of Islam. So that is what we should learn.
Well, it's 14 minutes to 12 o'clock. Let's go to Leicester, Ustad. Haji Ismail Jassad says, I'm listening to the Bliss of Marriage, Ustad. This case came to the Molana. It was mentioned in the Juma Bayan. Couple got married. Contacted the Molana after marriage due to a dispute. The issue was, Ustad, girl says, I will not vacuum, clean the house, neither will I clean the loo. I wasn't brought up to do this. Comments, beloved Mufti Sahab. Request for du'as, Ustad.
Obviously, you'll know the situation there in London and Leicester and UK and so forth. I've been there only 4 or 5 times, I can't remember. So you must remember, and I stayed there the whole month almost of Ramadan. We were fasting for 20 hours and so forth and so on. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So you know that there is not like South Africa and Zambia and Zimbabwe and all. all, Malawi and all. So where you have a permanent maid, you have a permanent helper, every day she comes, end of the day, end of the week, end of the month, you pay her and so forth. You know there the labor laws are so strict, and you know it's very, very rare you will find even rich people that they have a maid daily and so forth. So when you sister got married to ABC, you XYZ, and your husband is ABC, so now what do you expect? That the house has to be clean, the house and clean and tidy. Quran Kareem speaks of that, you must remember that. فِيهِ رِجَالُ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala loves people who are pure and clean. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, إِنَّ اللَّهَ نَظِيفٌ يُحِبُّ النَّزَافَ. Verily Allah Jalla wa Ala loves clean. Allah is very, very clean and loves cleanliness. Now you look at it, sister. You are in the house, your husband is working, and so forth and so on. The wages is getting in pounds. You know what it is. Now you want that he will not going to vacuum, you're not going to clean the bathroom and so forth. It's not something you have to do with your hand and all that. Everything is machines today, so you must remember that. And to break our pride and arrogance is very good. You're supposed to be doing that. So what other job you got? You have to cook, khana, peena, all that. You can't be all the time busy with the movies and your cell phone and TikTok and TikTok and all that, sister. So according to the way the question is posed, you're totally in the wrong. And looking at your circumstances in UK, because I've been there several times, so I know it's very, very, I know I went to Canada and the person I stayed in my family, so they're multi-millionaires. But I used to see the maid come one day, then after 2-3 days she come and the white lady and so forth, you know. So I ask him, what's the story? He said, no, it's very expensive here. We have to pay per hour. And you go over the hour, finish, overtime kicks in and so forth. And they're very strict there. So similarly in UK and so forth. So sister, you must tell your husband, don't come with that story. I never did it in my house. I never did it here and so forth. You married now. And the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in Mustadrak Hakim, Inna a'adama an-nasi haqqan 'ala al-mar'a zawjuha. Once you get married, the person who has the greatest rights over you is no more your parents. First is your husband, then is your parents. Understand this. And you, when you get married, the man, wa inna a'adama an-nasi haqqan 'ala al-rajul ummuhu. So when you get married, oh male, then you got your wife, you got your mother. So who still has greater rights over you? Your mother still has greater rights over you. That is what Islam teaches us. So sister, you need to do that and leave all that pride, and I didn't do this in my parents, all that is irrelevant. Now you must become an asset to your husband, an asset to your home, and not a liability. That is what Islam is teaching.
Somebody says, yo, Ustaz, that my husband advises everyone, but he doesn't advise his sister, his own sister, who left her husband's town for her career. Ustaz.
Oh, you must remember, that's always the case. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala speaks of justice in the noble Quran. And what does Almighty Allah say? Anything you want, you will find in the noble Quran Sharif, you will find in the Sunnah Mubarakah, the teaching, preaching of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or you will find in the fatawa, verdicts of the beloved Sahaba, the students and companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I read for you. Surah 4, chapter 4, and verse number 135. 135 is the verse, and remember, it is chapter 4. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bilqist. Ey iman walo, O you who believe, 89 different places Allah Azza wa Jalla has used this phrase. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, what they said, wherever Allah uses ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, is ikraman wa takriman lahum, to elevate their rank and status. Yet to ashikana khitab here, that you call your wife, oh my darling, my poppy, my sweetheart, my jan, and so how happy she feels. So Allah is addressing us. He conferred and gave us the greatest quality of Iman. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawwamin. Be the maintainers and the one who stands up bil qishti for justice. Shuhada alillah, and you give testimony, evidence for the sake of Allah. Walau ala anfusikum, although it's against yourself. You say, yes, I am the guilty party. We don't justify the wrong. We must say, I am wrong. That is Iman. People who justify, they do wrong and then justify it, they don't belong to the Allah's party. They belong to Hizbu Shaitan, the party of Shaitan. That's what Shaitan did. So, walau ala anfusikum, awil walidain, your parents are wrong. So you tell your parents you are wrong on this issue with respect and reverence, not shouting and screaming. Wal aqrabin. What is aqrabin? Your sister, your brother, your family members. So Surah 4, Surah Nisa, and verse number 135. And remember, iyakun ghaniyan aw faqiran, whether they rich or whether they poor, for Allah awla bihima. For Allah's sake, you have to do it. So that is what Islam is teaching us. You must remember. So this person, yeah, he's making amar bil ma'ruf, nanil munkar, commanding the good, forbidding the evil, and so forth, giving nasiha. But his own sister, she left her pots and her pains, and she went for her plots and her planes. You see, she say, I want to become an architect, I want to become a pilot, I want to become a doctor, I want to become an engineer, and all these kind of things. Anybody else ask him, then he will say, haram this, that. But he won't tell his sister. So totally wrong. You must remember in that case there, amal bin ma'ruf, nahy anil munkar is first for everybody. But first for our family, for our extended family and the ummah. So if he's really just conniving, turning a blind eye, so he is guilty, you must remember. See, I give you one incident of South Africa, who I know very well. Hazrat Maulana, you must remember that one lady in his family was driving, stood driving car, this, that. So he don't bother about anybody. He put a big board there on his house. You're not allowed in this house here. You must never come and visit me. What you call that? Al-hubbu lillah wal-bughzu lillah. You love for Allah's sake and you hate for Allah's sake. I love you as my sister. I love you as my auntie. I love you as my niece. But I hate the action you are doing. So that is what Islam teaches us.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. 0847863132. I see Sister Amina from Mauritius says, in the context, if the house calls, Ustad, Mufti Sab used to say a beautiful quote, Khidmat se khuda milta hai. And I can tell you, it's so true, Honorable Mufti Sab, Ustad.
100% you must remember, Sister Amina, Dr. Abdullah, you married so many years. Allah Jalla wala keep the mahabbat, Allah Ta'ala keep Ameen. The love, bless your children, make them all Qurrata Ayun, the grandchildren, all of them. And we go to Mauritius, we stay there, mashallah. So long time now, my last trip overseas was Mauritius. You must remember 2020 February, I went for Umrah, and then March came, then we went Mauritius. And when we came back, so after few days, I think it was 1 week or 6 days or five, some, then lockdown came in. You must remember, lockdown came in South Africa, Friday, March 27th. You must remember those dates, Maulana. It will help you one day in life. So you must remember that. So after that, my passport is in Etikaf. It's sitting quietly now. So you don't go anywhere. We just go local. Local is lekker, you see. So all these things here. So if you want, you must remember that to win the heart of somebody, so khidmat se khuda milta hai. Meaning that you go the extra mile. Then Allah's mercy comes and that heart of the person also softens. I always say that, see, in the olden days, because I mean I'm an old guy myself now, I'm the youngest guy in our family. So you know, my two brothers passed away, two sisters alive, Allah give them siha, afia, all that. So the point I'm making is, so you hear, you know, sometimes you make like you're not hearing also, but you're still hearing. So in the olden days, the mother, because they had Khuda ka khauf, they really had the fear of Almighty Allah. So they would tell the daughter that, see, Betty, you're getting married, right? So you must ensure that your janaza also comes out from that house there. What are they trying to tell her? Trying to tell her in life there will be vicissitudes. There will be ups and downs. There will be duk and suk. There will be sometime turbulence. You understand? You're going to a strange house, strange environment, strange person, everything. So as far as possible, you must stay there and you pass away there and so forth. In this day and this age, now democracy, freedom, satanic, all this. So the father, mother tell the daughter, Betty, you're going there, all that. So never mind, we arrange in all that separate house for you. But if their mother-in-law, she tells you nonsense and all that, you must tell her also nonsense. If she tell you two, you tell her four. Understand? And if the son, that is your husband, he sides with her and he wants to make big noise, you just contact us and we'll come pick you up. So I'm asking the question, parents, I don't say all, but I'll say many, where's your common sense? You must remember that. So common sense is no more common. You must remember that. You're supposed to make the home of your daughter and not break the home of your daughter. And where all the trouble comes, how many times I tell my own family members, the cell phone and all this, every day the mother wants to phone the daughter. Every day you want to, for what? Koro kariye aaj. You understand? Aaj koro kariye, koro pakaye. You say, now, akni, and I made akni. What you did yesterday? No, I made bajias. What I'll do tomorrow? I'll do samosas. Every day, sometime husband, wife had an argument, and now you just phone. And then the daughter will start crying, there's that. They also make makkar too much, you understand? Makkar means they know how to play the game, you know? They will exaggerate the situation. Small thing happen, they'll blow it out many a time. So they don't listen to the other story of the husband, the son-in-law. Say, yeah, this person is making too much zulam on my daughter, and it's bad, and it's this. But you never even heard the other side of the story, and you went to your judgment already. So all this is un-Islamic. We must be clear on this issue here, that you must listen to. Therefore, we dead against this. Yesterday, so a lady said, my husband is very unfair to me. So why is unfair? My parents just live 1-2 hours away from us, and it's already 2 weeks, and he never took me to my parents' place. So you got married to him. So what, you have to go every week, every second week to your parents? So I told her, sister, what your husband did is 100% right. He must take you after 2 months and 3 months. So finish now, the argument is finished. So where you got this, that every week your husband must take you to your parents' place, every second week he must take you to your parents' place, although you're only 1 hour away? There's no such thing like that in Islam. So you must remember. But we will bend the rules and panel beat the Sharia to suit our worm's fancies and desires and so forth. You are married in that family now to your husband. That is your home. You read full salat there. Even if you are staying there for 1 day, you're going from here to there. And when you go to your parents' place, nice long weekend this week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're going. When you stay there for 2-3 days by your parents' place, according to all 4 schools, you are married and you're staying 100 kilometers away, 500 kilometers away. You, sister, you will read Qasr Salat there at your parents' house. Although you were born there, although you grew up there, you spent 20 years there, but that's no more your home. Your home is with your husband. So every week take me to my parents' place, every second, where you got all these things from? So sometime our people also are, but you know, nuts, and they need some coconuts, I think.
Listen to this one, Ustad, before we terminate the program. It says, my mother is very inquisitive, dear Mufti Sahab, and wants to know everything about what's going on in my home and in-laws' home. I try not to speak to her so often, but she phones every day, Mufti Sahab. She gets very angry when I don't tell her things. What must I do? Anonymous Ustad.
You must tell her, Quran Kareem states, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. You must be good, in a good manner, and so forth. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْغِيبَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الزِّنَا. Ghiba and backbiting, gossiping is worse than zina, fornication, adultery from certain perspective. Hadith in Mishkat. Tell her, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah used to wear a ring. On that ring was engraved, جِرْمُهُ صَغِير وَجُرْمُهُ كَبِير. The size of the tongue is small, the crime it commits is big. So you must curtail her discussion. First of all, tell her, mummy, don't phone every day. I just give you the advice. Second one, when she speaks, when she's going that way, turn the topic. She gets angry, the sin is on her, not on you. And you must explain to her that all this is haram and you don't want to be part of the haram. She must not poke her nose in your in-laws' business. She got nothing to do with them. So that is our advice. Quickly, let me give you the rundown. 12 o'clock news, inshallah, with Brother Yusuf Ali. Thereafter, enjoining the good, forbidding the evil by Sheikh Anwar Awlaki al-Shaheed, rahimahullah, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. 1 o'clock, Adhan, 105 to 130, Surah Kahf, and verses 54 to 56, 130 to 2, Surah Hud, and that will be verses 3 to 5, 2 to 3, Madrasa on A, Mawla Zahid Khan, 3 to 3.30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A, 3.30 to 4, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki mizaj mubarak, Hazrat Muhammad Sayyid Ahmad Khan sahab, Nawwarallahu marqadahu, and that's in Urdu, 4 to 5, Ulumul Quran, Mufti Yusuf Mangera, 5 to 7, Mawla Khalid Yaqub. Then we come to 7 to 7.30, the repeat of our tafsir of today, and 7.30 to 8, Mawla Yunus Patel, Raimullah's advices, 8 to 10, Brother Shafaat, 8 to 9, very interesting, Dr. Shankara Chetty, and he is a natural science biologist, and then 9 to 10, he got Mawla Salman Kaji and Sheikh Shuaib, and inshallah after that will be that, remember, the Mawlana Ridwan Kaji, inshallah, 10 to 11, Barakallahu Fik, Salamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah.
Wa Alaikum Assalam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. And of course, tomorrow morning, 4 to 6, As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah. Our beloved Honorable Ustad will be leaving today, inshallah, after Salatul Asr, on his way to Free State. We make dua Allah Ta'ala protect him and keep him safe on the road, inshallah. Ameen. Up next, Haji Yusuf Ali with the 12 o'clock news.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.